And right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, stocks, a whole range of topics. And he joins us every Tuesday morning, and we peruse those topics and more. Ladies and gentlemen.
You can't peruse without reading.
I bring Jim Lynch in to the equation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We can cover those topics.
How do I sound? I'm calling from a different hotspot.
Well, you sound okay.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, you sound...
It's a more comfortable hotspot.
Oh, good.
Morning, Jill. Morning, everybody out there. Sun shining down here. I hope there, too.
No, it's snowing.
It's rain.
Rain
and snowing.
Okay.
And we're on delay.
Clear up soon.
And we're on delay.
Clearing up soon.
We hope.
Thank you, Meteorologist Lynch.
We hope and we pray. In any event... let's begin with a very, very positive story about a man who has taken his culinary talents into what could be gloom and despair, namely the aftermath of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. This man is a chef. His name is Chef Jose Andres. And the chef created over a year ago something called Chefs for Puerto Rico. He's created over 20 kitchens in Puerto Rico that have served over 3 million people at this time. He takes the vegetables and product of Puerto Rico and combines it with various meats, and he serves this to these people who are so desperate. His achievements have been talked about, so much so that some are thinking of nominating him for the Nobel Peace Prize. This is a very unique person. He's a Basque by nature. I've seen him with Anthony Bourdain on the television series about that man, the great Anthony, who has passed on. He's a sweet, gentle man, but he has served over 3 million people desperate for food and help.
Now, what's his name? What's his name again?
Jose, J-O-S-E, A-N-D-R-E-A-S. You can find him on Twitter many times. You can go to Anderson Cooper's on Facebook, and he'll pop up. He's famous for a lot of things. And, but you look him up. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. And now what's happening, he's beginning, his operation continues in Puerto Rico, but he's now going to work, he is in the process of working the border down there in California. So you can kind of put a smile on your mouth at this time that there's somebody who's doing it, who's taking his abilities. And he's not there for the money. He's there for the people.
You know, Jim, it's an interesting story because there's another guy out there who's been voted the world's best chef, Massimo, I think it's Bertura, has fine, exquisite restaurants around the world. Well, what he's done in Italy is he's taken food that is being thrown away, that has not been used and is going to be thrown away, and he has opened up. It started with one, and I think now in Milan, he's got five kitchens where they prepare world-class meals with this food that's been thrown out for people that can't afford it. They're soup kitchens, and this guy now is devoting more than 50% of his time to do this because there's so much food that is wasted and thrown away, and there's so many people that can eat it, that he started out wanting to show that you could do it, and now he's got five different locations in Italy. So that goes along, really, it ties right with this guy in Puerto Rico.
Well, let's certainly give him a shout-out and a thanks. And the reason I bring this up, this story now, it's so worthwhile, and what Marshall has added, it's incredibly so, is to acknowledge these people, but in this time of strife, mentally, for most of us, rather than physically food, we have to try and get our focus as much as we possibly can on the positive. And in this case, the positive of humanity, we have it within us. This world has it within itself among most of its participants to do the right thing, to take care of each other when it need be taken care of. So I begin the show with that because I find it so wonderful to even think about it. I've actually seen this guy, as I mentioned, on TV, just a normal, loving human being. And but for you out there and for all of us, let's try and embrace a story like this. And there are other stories, obviously, accentuating the positive. I'm not trying to avoid the negative. I'm trying to give us something else to hold on to as we go, as we continue to go through whatever we are going through. Now, we have a few things that I'd like to cover, which are called fast facts, for lack of a better term. And the fast facts will be dedicated to, and I'll do it periodically, it's no big deal, to what is real and what you've seen put out. And let's begin with a thing called global warming. Folks, global warming is the result of the bigger picture, climate change. When the climate changes, as it's been doing, and unfortunately not a positive rate, it influences temperatures, both hot and cold. So when it becomes excessively cold or excessively hot, particularly cold, of course people have fallen back on that, that doesn't mean that, everything's okay because we just got a little warmer. It means something's going on with the climate. And if you go on your internet, you'll find a story on the Marshall Islands in the Pacific Ocean. For some of you historians, it's a place where many battles were fought during the Second World War. The point is, those islands, and there are many of them, will be underwater in 20 years, 30 years, maybe 10 years. The reason being, the ocean has heated up, and tides are rising, and this will overcome these islands. This phenomena is going to probably happen throughout the world. It'll be most noticeable, obviously, in low-lying areas. Now, I'm not going to cite you anything from the latest report from the federal government on climate change, which was released day after Thanksgiving, is 136 pages long. It's been done in concert by various agencies of our federal government. And the general finding is, by 2001, by 2101, we will have lost 10% of our GNP because of the course of climate change, the pollution, et cetera, that goes into it. Now, more devastating than that, because that's a number, this report says there will be a minimum of 2,000 extra deaths in the Midwest as a result of this climate change. Extra deaths. Why? Because of the heat, because of the temperature. And part of that GNP figure, gross national product figure, getting hit, is the fact that the temperatures in the Midwest, and this is a report, and it's a report on the future, transposing what's happening now, our soybean crop 50, 60 years from now could be burnt out. Soybeans is a key ingredient to foodstuffs around the world. So please understand climate change doesn't have to do with, oh, gee, it's raining a little. Oh, it's not. There's something happening because of what we've done to the atmosphere, and it's influencing the temperatures, hot, cold, etc. The second point is, it's been mouths that we want to allow a country, Saudi Arabia, to kill one of our residents in Turkey because Saudi Arabia is so, so profitable for the USA. The false fact that has been put out is that we have orders for $400 to $450 billion in various products, particularly military, from Saudi Arabia. That is an outright lie. $14.5 billion is the number, not $400 billion. We can speculate all we want on what happens down the road in business with anybody, but it is an outright lie to say that we have $4 billion in orders. We have $14.5 billion. It is also an outright lie that employment will increase, or no, better said, employment is increasing to about 250,000 because of our business with Saudi Arabia. Outright lie. The experts say maybe 30,000. Oil prices, have you noticed, and I noticed it as we all have at the gas the pump, have gone down. It's not going down because the Saudis have said they're not going to cut their oil production. It's cutting down because the United States of America, and it's very well broadcast in the general news and in stock market news, because of this fracking process where we extract oil in this country from spaces we weren't able to do it before, we have a plethora of oil. In terms of Saudi, they can take a Saudi. We only get 10% of our oil from them. We get 40% of our oil from Canada. We malign Canada. We beat up on Canada, one of the staunchest allies we ever had, and then we say, oh, okay, let's let this young prince kill who he might and continue conducting a war in Yemen. Yemen is not in the headlines enough. Why, I don't know. But eventually, they're estimating starvation of millions of people because of what the Saudi Arabians are doing to them militarily. The United States of America is complicit in that action. We have been refueling the Saudi aircraft. We've been backing them up with logistics. Oxfam and others are out there protesting the United States supporting Saudi Arabia. Please send Oxfam your support, either in letters, words, or monies. Let's not participate in a genocide being conducted by another country. And the last fast fact for the moment is you've heard a lot about the Ninth District Court in California being so hard on a government that wants to hurt immigrants and little children. Well, the Ninth Circuit Court is fourth in overturning laws espoused by the government. They're fourth. They're not first. So please be aware that these are facts. And if you want facts and say, I want facts, anytime somebody comes out with anything from the government, particularly with big numbers, you go to your Google and you'll find there the lies that are being espoused by the people who say they have our interests at heart in running our government.
All right.
I'm going to take a sip of coffee.
I think you need it after that. I mean, you know, it's funny. When I look at reports that come from the government, and I look at especially financial reports, in radio and broadcasting, I learned very early on, there's an old saying, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And that was regarding the ratings. What I was taught very early in life is you don't want to just see the ratings. Hey, I got great ratings this time and talk about it, because the next rating period, your ratings might be down in the dumps. What you want to see is over a course of like a year or two, a nice even swoon where the ratings go up and down and fluctuate. Our government and people in government and people who follow government seem to live in the immediate moment. And you cannot live in the immediate moment anymore with what's happening today. And the perfect example, and this is where I'll give Barack Obama a lot of credit. There were certain things about Barack Obama, the way he dealt with businesses and big money, that I didn't like. But he never touted, when he was president, his successes on a weekly basis or the country's successes on a weekly basis, because he knew it was a fluctuating thing. Well, we are in a presidency now that for the first year and a half of his 2 years, he flouted the stock market. He lived on the stock market. And now that the stock market is doing what it normally would do, it reflects poorly. And it's one of the things that is an adjutant to him. Joe, you wanted to say something. Go on.
What I wanted to emphasize before you get into the details, I wanted to emphasize the point of trends and how social media has essentially encouraged everybody to be very short-term, and Brexit is a perfect example, because you get focused on the moment, the news, and you're not. It used to be a long-term business. Are you there?
Jim's still there, right? You're there, Jim, right? Jim, are you there? We lost Jim.
We sort of lost Jim. That's the clicking of the hotspot.
No, it's not. Jim, are you there?
Trust me. Mercury is retrograde.
No, we have lost him. It's not the clicking of the hotspot. That's the clicking of phone.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's not the hotspot.
I'm teasing.
Yeah.
In the same way that he has found a hotspot. When I hear him say hotspot, I think of retriever. See, he's the... There we go. The trunk line.
Oh, let's see if we can do this here.
Anyway, the point is simply, you've got to be able to do a wider picture. Here he is.
We lost you there, Jim.
Hello there.
Yeah, hello.
We lost you there.
I apologize to you, Jill, particularly. I switched ears, and in the process, I knocked myself off the phone.
That'll do
I'm
it.
I'm very, very sorry.
Well, you should.
Would you make your point again, Jill?
You can't be Alfred E. Newman. You can't switch your ears.
My point was very simply that people are suffering from a great deal of immediate politics, and many things in life are about the long view and the fact that things change along the way with the long view. And what has happened with all of this daily screenage and information and the way that it is covered now is you don't take – you're discouraged from – the long view.
But the president has been a major factor in doing that, because whenever he touted something.
Absolutely.
He touted the success of Carrier. He touted the success of Ford. He touted the success of General Motors. And they've all now moved a lot of operations overseas. Here's what the president, the mistake he makes is, and you just said it perfectly. He does understand, as a businessman, how intertwined global economy is. You know,
with all respect to everybody, there's...
Let me finish. I mean, how can he understand the effect of the global economy with the tariffs, where GM is closing plants? Guess what? They're not going to make these certain cars here in America. You know where they're going to make them? They're going to make them in China, because people are buying those cars in China. Ford is getting rid of all their sedans except for Lincoln. Why? Because there's a better market in Europe. The market isn't in this country. The president doesn't seem to understand that. And that it's now, unfortunately,
okay,
it's a global economy. I mean, I think, Jim, and I think everybody would wish that it wasn't a fact the way it's, but we have to live and work in a global economy.
And
now.
I would disagree that we know everything there is to know about that. That's all.
No one said that we know everything all there is to know about it, but there's just so much that has been put on America first, and you know in business nowadays you can't do that, and they're learning that in Brexit. You just
no, they're totally not learning that. The problem with the problem is agreeing to so many different things and trying to be political that you're missing. Once again, you lost. you're in the hole. You're not in the donut.
And why are they in the donut? Because they're leaving Brexit and they're trying to operate individually, and you can't anymore in this world. You can't. It's a sorry fact, but it's a true fact. Am I wrong, Jim?
You're absolutely correct. And Jill, you're right. I mean, nobody can really know what's going to happen. You do the best you can. But you see, that's where the president is amiss, because he cannot think for some reason long term, which belies the fact that everybody thought, not the people in New York, that he was a great businessman. Well, you know, he really isn't, and he really doesn't know anything. And I'm saying that sincerely and not in a derogatory fashion.
He's a great promoter. He's not a great businessman.
He is an incredible salesman, And the success of his being a great salesman is how he conned not just the American people, but more significantly the media, who bought his story, fish line and sinker, and actually brought him the White House by giving him the PR from the get-go that no other presidential candidate has ever had when they've started going for the presidency. Now, I know an historian can prove me right or wrong, but I would bet that I'm right, that we cannot prove that any other president has had this coverage. And you know, the thing is coverage. The old saying, I don't care what you say about me, the show business, whatever thing, I don't care what you say about me, but say something about me because I'm in the spotlight. That is Donald Trump's mantra. He wants to be in the spotlight. If you look at him at the rallies, it's like he's on stage. He cues his audience. He has these little ways, facial expressions, these body expressions, all like somebody on a stage. And, well, good for him. That's what he wants to do. But somebody's got to run this country and not run it down. Now, as I'm talking to you folks, I think it was just announced that he's definitely going ahead. Well, I guess it's a threat with the tariffs on the Chinese, which should begin in January, $200 billion.
He's meeting with
the head of the Chinese government this weekend. So this is like he's threatening the man.
Jim,
that's not the way you do it.
We're out of time, Jim.
Hey, listen.
We're up against the
clock. How did I know the future? How did I know the future?
I know.
All right. Well, this has been fun.
Always.
Have you had fun?
Always.
Yes, we have.
All right.
All right.
I love you both. I love you all. You have a great week, and I'll talk to you then.
All right. Take care, Jim.
Right. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, Uncover Your Assets. I look at the clock, and it's 8:58. I'm going, holy smoke, where did the time go? The time flew by.